Hallelujah. Yeah, before we go into the message, just sing this song prayerfully as we meditate on it. He is Lord. That's what today is all about. Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. But there can be no celebration of resurrection if he did not die. He died and he rose again. Isn't it amazing that the symbol of our faith is the cross? Because the cross represents crucifixion. It represents death. But in the death of Christ, we find life. Hallelujah. So let's just sing that song. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Amen. He has risen from the dead. And he is Lord. Hallelujah. Everything shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. Just lift your hands to Jesus and just tell him that you know he is Lord.
You are Lord. Amen. You have risen from the dead and you are Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Father, we thank you that we can be counted among the living today. Father, thank you because we are in church this day, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to worship you. It's a privilege to serve you. It's a privilege to know you. Father, as we go into your word today, we ask you that you will breathe your life and light upon your word. Lord, the Bible says, oh God, that the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. So let these words come as spirit and life. Let it come as bread for our soul. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will enlighten our understanding. Move upon us. Breathe upon us. As this word goes forth this day, let burdens be removed. Let yokes be destroyed. Let chains be broken. Let miracles be released. Let blessings flow forth in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit of distraction and discouragement in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit of oppression and depression in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit of sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn around and give your neighbor a handshake. Say congratulations. Jesus. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Please open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. Actually, we can start from verse 6. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 11. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. I want you to understand that Jesus is not just the Son of God. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, I said the symbol of Christianity is the cross. And every time you put on the cross, for those who do, or you see the cross, it reminds us that God himself came down. As I keep telling him, I said, there's no point for you to be asking where is God. He has revealed himself. The full revelation of God is embodied in Jesus Christ. There will be never be any better revelation. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld him. Hallelujah. Though he was God, what's he talking about? Jesus Christ. Yet he came down. So why is God so far away? Why can't we see God? If you can show me God, I will believe. He has come down already. If you cannot believe in Jesus Christ, there is no other way. Hallelujah. I said there's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. Sister Lucky, there's no other equation. The equation is Jesus Christ. He understands what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. There's no other equation to life. Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. Though he was God, he came down as a man. Amen. Look at what he's saying there. But he did not cling to his Godship. Rather, he came, he became a man, entered the same body like you and I. He feels what you feel because he has been there. Hallelujah. There is nothing you are going through that he did not go through. I can prove that to you. He said, instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being, just like you and I. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says that when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Because the cross in those days was used to crucify criminals. But Jesus was not a criminal. The Bible says that he who knew no sin, he knew no sin, yet he became sin for us. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He said, he who knew no sin, he became sin for us. Why? So that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know why Jesus came down? He came down to reconcile you back to God. Hallelujah. You don't need to hide under your chair and under your table from God anymore. You know, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the very first sin, yeah, they went to hide. God came and said, Adam, where are you? He was hiding. He said, it was the woman. Woman. I said, was the snake? Snake. Hallelujah. But there's no need to hide anymore because he has come down. Hallelujah. To reconcile you back to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I am not forsaken. It's not possible. Because I know the greatest. I have the greatest connection in life. Hello? I don't know what your connection is. I don't know if you are the son of Muritala Muhammad. I don't know. The former president. I have the greatest connection. And you know the good thing? He's with me everywhere I go. Hallelujah. You know the psalmist, he was prophesying. He said, even if I make my bed in hell, even then, you are still with me. He was talking about Jesus. You know Jesus went to hell? Did you know? Do you know Jesus went to hell? You don't know. Do you know he went through hell anyway? On the cross. You know that one, yeah? But he actually went to hell. Why did he go to hell? Because on the cross, God put all our sins upon Jesus. He became the sacrificial lamb. God input all our sin. Everybody past and future. He poured it all out on Jesus. When God did that, Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he put all our sin upon him. Hallelujah. And of course, when he died with all our sins upon him, where did he go to? He went to hell. Hallelujah. But even there in hell, the presence of God is still there. There's no place that the presence of God is not. I mean, sometimes people preach, you know, for the sake of, you know, correctness and say, hell is a place where the presence of God does not exist. No. The presence of God is everywhere. Hell is a place where the goodness of God does not exist. But the presence of God is there. Because hell itself has a purpose that is fulfilled in the righteousness of God. Do you understand? God is love. And the fundamental part of love is justice. Imagine if there was a serial rapist and murderer going around the UK and attacking anybody and everybody. And finally that rapist and murderer is caught. What are you going to do? Are you going to set him free to continue to do what he does? I mean, you see people say, no, just... Even when in this country, even when life imprisonment is given, people say, no, I wish I could get him and just put in a few bullets in the head and forget the history. Are you understanding? You know, why that? Because love demands that evil does not reign. You see what I mean? Because where evil reigns, yeah, love cannot dominate. Where love dominates, evil cannot exist. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why in the goodness of God, he has to banish evil. Amen. But before God does that, he has already provided the way. He has already provided the way, which is Jesus Christ. He came down. I want you to understand. That's what the cross is all about. The cross is all about the fact that God came down to find you and say, my daughter, come home. I am your father, and you are what? My child. We don't need to live far apart. I made you. Live in communion with me. Amen. See, he kept saying it even at the home fellowship. I said, what is the purpose of life? Yeah? So, I want to go to school, and I want to get the very best degree in the school. Yeah? Was that not what you said when you were at the University of Surrey?
Yeah, that's true.
Studying nursing?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, we were there about the same time, but I never met her. I only met her many years after in Basingstoke. Hallelujah. But you get that degree, and then that dream is finished. Yeah? And then the next thing comes along. Somewhere along the journey, you may even make up your mind, I'm not even going to work as a nurse again. Was that not so, Sister Tipo? Was that not a time you thought, oh, I just want to take a break?
Yeah.
Are you with me? After getting the degree, you know, some other things come up, some other challenges come up, or some other demands, and just feel, you know what? Either I stop, I step down. Voluntarily. I say, no, don't leave. I say, I have to leave. You take it or leave it. Hallelujah. That's life. Yeah? So if your life is just about what you are chasing, that's not the purpose of your life. Amen. Everything we are chasing in life is for a higher purpose. Amen. The people who came before you, there are some people who have succeeded so much before you that you cannot break their record. And some of them succeeded without making money. Because many days before, there was even no money. Amen. My son came to me and said, oh, daddy, why do we have to work? Why can't they just print all the money and then we'll all be fine? I said, that's a good question. Well, when all the money is printed and there's nothing to buy because nobody worked, what is the value of the money? Money is only a means of exchange. The real value of money is the goods or services that money can buy. Who's an economist here? Yeah? You agree with me? Yeah? That's the first law of economics as defined by Pastor Ben and Adam Smith. Hallelujah. Amen. So, there's a higher purpose, and the higher purpose can only be found in the person who made you. As I keep trying to remind people, you did not decide to come. It was not your decision. You just found out one day that you existed. So that decision for your life was taken, yeah, ahead of you. Hallelujah. By God. And Jesus Christ came to reconcile you back into an active relationship with God. Hallelujah. And because he humbled himself, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says that, verse 9, it said, therefore God elevated him to the highest place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Now, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. You know, there's some people that are under the earth. You don't know. There's some people are living under the earth. Did you know that? Did you know? Some people are living under the earth. Otherwise, that scripture has a problem, yeah? In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Did you know that some people are living under the earth? You never thought about it? What happens when a person dies? What do you do to them?
When they die, oh, in the grave.
No, you didn't say it right. What do you do when the person that you the heart?
You get buried.
You dig it. Hallelujah. But you see, that's not even the final destination, because that's the body. But their soul goes somewhere. Amen. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And as I'm preaching, I just remember the story of Jesus when he was crucified. There were two people beside him. Two criminals beside him. One mocked Jesus, just like some people mock Jesus today. They use the name of Jesus as a curse word. Oh, Jesus. Jesus Christ. You know? By the way, if you do that, don't do it. Because if you do that, when you need the name of Jesus for power, you are diminishing that power because you've already taken it for granted. Do you see what I mean? Yeah? The reason why I cannot use the name of Jesus as a curse word or an exclamation word is that I know the power that name releases. So it's sacred. I want to use it for that power. Amen. So that when I mention Jesus, I'm releasing power. I'm not releasing a jest or a curse. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And that thief on the other side of Jesus, you know, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He called him Lord. The key word is Lord. The key word is not remember me. The key word is what? Lord. He recognized him as Lord. You know what? Bible said Jesus turned to him and said what? Today. Everybody say today. Today. You will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Jesus took his sin and gave him righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. He did not remain in the grave. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He did not remain in the grave. He did not remain in the grave. He died, and 3 days later, the tomb was empty. Hallelujah. He did not remain in the grave. He is alive. He is Lord. And because Jesus is Lord, yeah, we have hope for the future. Hallelujah. I always think about it. I'm having this increasing revelation of this and that. If Jesus is Lord, yeah, there is nothing that doesn't have solution. Let me just rewind that. I don't know. Listen, please apply this to your situation. I said, if Jesus is Lord, there is no situation that doesn't have solution. Because he is Lord. Hallelujah. He is supremely Lord of all. Hallelujah. He's Lord over men. He's Lord over angels. He's Lord over demons. He's Lord over the half. The Bible says the half is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There is nothing you are trying to achieve in life. It's all coming from the half. The food you eat, the water you drink, the gold, who is wearing gold? Oh, I saw some beads yesterday. Yes, that wrong guy? Hallelujah. The beads you wear, where are they coming from? From the earth. They're not even coming from Mars. They are coming from the earth. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Every problem you have in life has a solution. And the solution is in Jesus. Because Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. If Jesus cannot solve your problem, you have all men the most miserable. Because it means that any other solution you find is a path to destruction. Are you listening? If your solution is not in Jesus, there's no other solution. Anyone you find, will lead to trouble later. Hallelujah. If Jesus is not sufficient as the way, there's no other way. You will just keep looking around forever. Hallelujah. If the truth of God's word is not enough for you, you are still searching for truth. You are going to look forever and you come back to the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's show you a very difficult situation before we round up. So rounding up in 10 minutes time. Hallelujah. Is that Yolanda? Hallelujah. You can't even shout hallelujah. Please, we need to give her some food. Sister Yolanda, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's better. That's better. I've been to her house. She talks at home very well. Don't mind her. I'm on your case. For good. For good. For miracle. For breakthrough. Hallelujah. For beauty and glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Please, let's say that again. Think about whatever situation you have. Think about the most hopeless situation you could ever be. And say to yourself, say, if God be for me, who can be against me? You know what? Before we go to John, let's go to that scripture. Romans 8. I just want to emphasize it so that you know that you are not alone. It's important that you know that you are not alone. It's important that you know that you are not forsaken. It's important that you know that your case is not different. Hallelujah. Your case is not different to any other case that God solved. Hello? I said your case is not different to any other case that God solved. So don't let the devil deceive you. Yeah? That anything is impossible. Because if Jesus rose from the dead, let me ask you a question. What is the greatest enemy in life? The greatest enemy of men. What is it? Sister Runke, go first. The greatest enemy of men in life. So for example, you can say, oh, sickness is cancer, is this, whatever. Just give me an example. What's the greatest enemy of men in this life? The greatest enemy that you know that every man is watching out for that enemy. When I say every man, I mean man and woman.
Sin.
Sin? Okay, I'll manage that.
Women.
Women. Like the greatest enemy of men is women. But maybe the greatest enemy of women is what? Men. Yes, actually, they started the trouble, both of them, yeah? What is the greatest enemy in this life? The greatest enemy of a human being in this life. That everybody is watching out for that enemy. Both consciously and unconsciously.
The greatest enemy will be yourself, because your weakness, if you can't address, a man's greatest enemy will be, him or her.
So again, I will take that answer. These are good answers. Good enemy is sin. Good enemy is Weakness, your weakness. These are good answers. Really. Sincerely, they are good answers. And they are enemies. But what is your greatest... That's not the perfect answer. Your greatest enemy that every day, consciously or unconsciously, you are thinking about this enemy. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, there's one enemy that you are thinking about, consciously or unconsciously. What I show you?
Death.
Death.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know what? If the greatest enemy is not dead, yeah, they will not allow anybody to swim near the beach. If you are not conscious of death. Yeah? Near the Atlantic Ocean, yeah? If people are not conscious of death, they will not allow anybody to swim there because they will just throw themselves in. There is that fear of death that keeps you from throwing yourself into the ocean. Are you with me? Yeah? The fear of death also keeps you alive in a way. Yeah? But that's not God's plan for you.
So how do we describe people? It's like quite a number of people these days who are willing to just give it up. And what's that?
Because they lost hope. See, they lost hope. The most essential, one of the most essential elements in life is hope. And when you get into a state of hopelessness, then you are no longer in control. Your weakness has overcome you. And then you succumb finally to your greatest enemy. So in a way, you see that the weakness comes back in. Amen. But in Christ Jesus, we have hope. Hallelujah. Everything may not have together. But Jesus, yeah, has overcome death. Hallelujah. If he could overcome death, there is no other thing in your life that he cannot overcome. Are you with me? Say to yourself, say, Jesus has overcome death. Therefore, I no longer live in the fear of death. I no longer live under hopelessness. Hallelujah. There's no reason for you to feel hopeless. Jesus is alive. Amen. I said the situation may be impossible, but Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, I tell you something, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Everything might have said is over, but not with God. Hallelujah. With God, all things are what? Are possible. I just show you some few scriptures and then we round up because I need to emphasize that. So let's go to John. John chapter 11. Just quickly read that. So I'll try to round up in 5 minutes. John chapter 11. Are you there? From verse 17. John 11 from verse 17 to 27. I will read it quickly. It said, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles from the road, down the road from Jerusalem. And many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everybody else rises at the resurrection. Jesus told her, please look at your Bible. John 11:25. If you miss anything, don't miss this. John chapter 11, verse 25. Amen. Jesus told her, I am what? The resurrection and the life. Can we say that together? I am the resurrection and the life. Please just repeat after me. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me, we never ever die. Hallelujah. And he said, do you believe this matter? Yes, Lord. He told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Let me just explain verse 25 to you and we'll round up there. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. What he's saying is that, he said, anyone who believes in me, yeah, even though he were dead, he will live. What Jesus is saying there is that, I have power over physical death. I am the resurrection and the life. The very breath that you breathe comes from Jesus. He said, I have power over physical death. It doesn't matter if Lazarus had died for 4 days. I am the resurrection and the life. Every breath you're taking came from Jesus. If he will tell this hand right now, you are finished. Hallelujah. Amen. Even on the cross, he could have withheld the breath of all those who killed him. He could. They didn't kill him. They didn't kill him. It was he that offered himself up. They didn't kill him because he couldn't run away. He stayed there and allowed them to crucify him. Hallelujah. I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. I have power over physical death. Then he said, he who believes in me will never ever die. You know what that means? I have power over spiritual death or eternal death. If you believe in Jesus, there is no fear of death. Because even if you died, amen, you will not perish. Are you with me? I said if you're a believer, even if you die, you will not what? You will not perish. Set yourself, say, I will not perish. No, I don't know if you know the meaning of that statement. Set yourself, say, I will not perish. Because I believe that Jesus is my Messiah. That's the key. But he said, you know, sometimes Christians, especially nowadays, they are happy to accept that. But when it comes to what Jesus can do for them in this life, he said, no, let's just manage to suffer through, pull through. Yeah, eventually we'll go to heaven. Are you with me? Yeah, let's just manage through, pull through, manage money, we go to heaven. He just said, no. Martha said, oh, I know he will rise again on the last day. He said, just said, no. I said, I am what? The resurrection and the life. Right now, I have power over physical death. And I want to tell you something. Because your greatest enemy is death, and you can see that in 1 Corinthians 15. And the Bible says that death is the last enemy that will be destroyed. And Jesus has power over death. And he demonstrated it not just in raising Lazarus, he died. You know, it's easier to raise. So, for example, if you have the power, you can raise someone who died. But when the person that has the power actually died, who raised him? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He has power over death. And if he has power over death, my brother, my sister, there is no situation in your life that Jesus doesn't have power over. And you know the key? The key is, Bible says, they looked unto him. Where was that? Psalm 34, verse 5. Let's round up on that scripture. That's the final scripture. That's your takeaway. Ice cream. Psalm 34, verse 5. If you want to live a victorious life in the power of resurrection, in the power of Jesus Christ, in this life, I tell you something. The Holy Spirit make me say, don't just resign yourself to manage through until you get to heaven. That is not God's plan for your life. If God had no plan for this life, he will kill you right now. Like my brother told me, he said, the day the plan of God for you finishes, you are already dead. The reason why you are still alive is because God has a plan for your life. Are you with me? If God's plan for your life finishes, you are dead because there's no other reason why you are alive. Hallelujah. So don't resign yourself until when you get to heaven. You have a life to live. Are you with me? And if you are planning to go back to your country where you came from, don't resign yourself until when you go back to your country where you came from. You have a life to live where you are right now.
Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and the life. You got to live that life. Now, why Jesus kept you here? Hallelujah. You got to live the life of God. And you can do that because Jesus, who you believe in, is Lord. Amen. Now, go to Psalm 34, verse 5. Let's round up on that scripture. Did I get it right, Pastor Jimmy? All right. Let's get someone to read. Who will read? Who would like to read now? Okay, what to be?
They looked unto him and were lightened.
They looked unto him.
And their faces were not ashamed.
Amen. That's the key. Let's take another version. Psalm 34, verse 5, another version. Just wait.
They looked unto him and they were radiant.
They were radiant.
And their faces were not ashamed.
Their faces were not ashamed. Another version. But Toby, look for another version there. Sister Frida, wait, my darling.
Go on, Psalm 34, verse 5.
Those who look to him for help will be radiant with
those
joy.
Those who look to him for help will what? Be radiant.
No shadow of shame will darken their
faces. No shadow of shame will do what?
Will darken their
we
faces.
We darken their faces. Yes, another one. Same one. Okay, any other version? Final, any other version? Yeah? Final opportunity, any other version?
They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces shall never be covered with shame.
Amen. Let me round up on this.
You may say to yourself, oh, but I've looked unto God before. I've prayed. I've done sin. This is the key. The key is keep looking. Hallelujah. What? Keep looking. If you stop looking, there's no guarantee of your breakthrough. But if you keep looking and you refuse to stop looking unto him, Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, he will take you over. You will come through. You will make it because Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says that those who trust in him will never be put to shame. I think never is a strong word. You understand? It's either the Bible is saying the truth or the Bible is lying. When the Bible says we never, it's a very strong word. He says, if the Bible says you will never be put to shame, is that the Bible is trying to tell you the truth or is saying a blatant lie? Yeah? So if you feel you are being put to shame right now, it's because you stopped looking. Keep looking. Hallelujah. And you know what? If you stop looking, what's the solution? Turn back and keep looking. Hallelujah. Keep looking to him, Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You see, the reason why situations and circumstances get us down is because we stop looking. When we keep looking, although there are situations and circumstances, they become secondary. They are still there, but they will not take over our heart. Hallelujah. They will remain under. We may not have solved them, but they're not going to take over. Hallelujah. You're not going to be depressed because of them. You know why situations and circumstances can depress you? Because they came to the top. Hello, are you with me? Nothing can depress you until it comes to the top. Stop allowing your situation and circumstances, whatever they are, to come to the top of your heart. Instead, keep looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You know what he said? He said, I will never, I think it's a very strong word, leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. I just say two more times. I don't care, like my brother Shai used to say, I don't care whatever has happened in your life. Jesus has promised that he will never. I think never is a very strong word. Say to yourself, say, Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. One more time. Say to yourself, say, Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. Let's pray. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when I'm praying, I just like to declare my confidence in God. Say, Father, I trust you. You know, Father, I trust you. I have confidence in you that you have my tomorrow in your hand. I have confidence in you that my life is on the right path,
because I choose to continue to follow you. Even where I've missed it, I still trust you. As even where I've fallen short, I still trust you. Even where I've messed up, I still what? Trust you with my life. You are Lord, and I surrender, I yield, I submit to you. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, you who conquered death, you conquered the grave, you conquered Satan, you conquered demons, you conquered disease and sickness. Oh Jesus, you are my Lord. Be my Lord. You are my Lord. Be my Lord. Jesus, you are my Lord. Be my Lord. Because there's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. It's in Jesus. You are my Lord. Be my Lord. Reign in me. You are my Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I just thank God because I know as we're praying, the power of God has been released in your life. Hallelujah. Every depression, every oppression in your life is melting away. Everything that is blocking your mind from clarity. Every confusion. So some people here, there's confusion in your mind. But right now, as you stand your face up to look at Jesus, that confusion is melting away. That confusion is melting away. That clarity is coming back into your spirit. Hope, hope, hope. It's hopelessness that caused people to take their life. But hope is restored. That hope is in Jesus. I say it's being restored right now. Hallelujah. The smile is coming back to your face because you know that Jesus is with you. He is Lord and is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.